And I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Good morning, Houston. We are back. This is Amplified Houston, KPFT 90.1, Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 FM in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, and the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener-supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey, and this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Jennifer Battle, VP Community Access and Engagement at the Harris Center for Mental Health and IDD. But first, Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop and 713-526-4663. Jennifer, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
I am so excited to be here, Anna. Any conversation with you is always a good one.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. So Jennifer, we've known each other for a good stretch of time, and I have been so looking forward to having you on to share your energy and your insights and your wisdom. So let's just jump right in and get started. You are a social worker by trade, which is near and dear to my heart because that was where I started my career in social work. And you have done some amazing work over the course of your career as a social worker, mostly in crisis intervention. Tell us a little bit about your career path, but then also the work that you do and have done for a long time in crisis intervention in Harris County.
Absolutely. So first thing, like, go team social work.
Yay!
Be a social worker. Big shout out to University of Houston Graduate College of Social Work. Go Cougs. And I really am just proud to serve this community. And I have been so fortunate to be able to spend my career thus far learning and growing in our very diverse and magnificent city. So just really, really proud of all of the people who do this difficult and hard work every day.
100%.
So yeah, I mean, crisis work is kind of a weird place, right? As far as you don't ever want to receive crisis services, right? Like, it's not something that people look forward to doing. You know, when you're, you know, a social worker who sort of specializes in therapy, that's a fantastic thing, right? Because many people are very energized by, you know, seeing their therapist on a regular basis. And it's a choice that they're making to be able to connect in that way. But crisis services are typically services that people receive when something's not going right, right? Like, it's most of the time, it could be that we're serving people on their worst day, which I know, of course, you understand as well, because the Women's Home serves a lot of folks that are experiencing crisis too. So,
absolutely,
you know, there's never enough resources for the people in our communities that need them. But I am very grateful to be able to serve in Harris County, in Houston, Greater Houston area, because we do have a pretty diverse bandwidth and system of care. So, the organization that I work for called the Harris Center for Mental Health and IDD. IDD stands for Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities. So that means that, we serve people basically, anywhere along the continuum of that care, from mental health all the way through substance use, behavioral health care, and IDD related care. And we serve people who are, just like I said before, who are coming in, they want services, they want to see a doctor, they need a primary care physician who can serve both their physical health as well as their mental health, which we call integrated care. And then we serve folks who are, also experiencing crisis needs. And so that continuum is really powerful in the ways that we have developed partnerships all across the organization. Obviously, we have partnerships with you there at the Women's Home, the other partners in this wonderful radio program that you have. I heard several of our other partners here. Obviously, we obviously work with Children at Risk. I think I may have heard Houston Food Bank. So we have partners with law enforcement organizations, Houston Police Department, Sheriff's Department, DA's office, the medical center, all over the place. And that is, in my mind, as a social worker, that's how I think about ideal service delivery. That ideal service delivery is always about how do we look at the systems in which people are living and working and thriving or experiencing crisis, or where do they work, where do they go to school, and we need all those folks at the table to really appropriately serve people.
You know, Jennifer, I think what you said there that I think bears repeating is that, Houston, we are so lucky in Houston that we have such a robust group of service providers. You mentioned a few of them, and I know you have a ton more within your circles. And certainly at the Women's Home, we have a way, just tons of collaborative partners. And I think it's something that we maybe take for granted sometimes, but not all cities have this robust partnership and collaboration that we have in Houston. I think there's some magic in the air in Houston, honestly, because there's so many people and they're so willing to collaborate and leverage each other's gifts and talents. And I will just tell a short story. We had a really unfortunate crisis at one of our affordable housing complexes. We experienced a murder on site, and it was terribly traumatic for my staff and the tenants and the property management group. I mean, it really rattled our whole community. And it was it was really awful. I mean, it's just like, it was the first time that I had experienced that kind of violence up close. And I was felt so fortunate because I knew I could call Harris County. They came in with a team of therapists and social workers and did on-site crisis intervention and helped us work through kind of the immediate aftermath of this terrible tragedy. And I don't know if that's something that people even know that's out there, but oh my gosh, I was so grateful in the moment that I could just pick up the phone and I knew like high quality, really compassionate care would be on site within a matter of hours. So just a little personal story about the power of Harris County and all the wonderful collaborations that we have in place.
Absolutely. That's our resiliency team. So they just do fantastic work. Shout out to Sarah String, who is the program director over our mobile crisis outreach team, who also Really designed and developed the resiliency team piece in response to community need. In that, and have responded to all kinds of situations and scenarios, not just here in Harris County, but her team has responded to, really devastating events like the shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, the Uvalde shootings, and then quite a few disasters as well. They're on standby right now for Hill Country, should the Hill Country need additional resiliency team responders as well. So we're, again, not situations in which people are, looking for, right? Like this type of work is really powerful in the sense that you go where the community needs you to go in the moments where the community is really trying to do an immediate response and recovery to whatever the crisis situation is. Sometimes it's a one-time situation, sort of like the situation you had at your facility, which is horrible. And I'm sorry y'all had to go through that. But also just so grateful, like you said, to have such amazing responders with really subject matter expertise and doing that kind of crisis intervention and response work in a way that really meets the Harris Center values, integrity and professionalism and empathy and care.
So, Jennifer, just for our listeners out there who may be thinking today, well, thank God I've never needed anything like that in my life, but what if I do at some point need that kind of assistance? How do people find you? How do people contact you or any of the other services in Harris County?
Absolutely. So we have, like I mentioned, specifically at the Harris Center for Mental Health and IDD, we have all different types of services, right? So if you're a person who yourself is experiencing symptoms of a mental health concern, you're not in a crisis situation, you just feel like you would benefit from, seeing a professional. Maybe you are interested in, you want some, a diagnosis. It's going to feel helpful to you to put some language towards some of the symptoms that you're experiencing, that it might feel helpful to you to look at the possibilities of, what type of medication could help you, just like if you were needing help and care for any other type of concern that you might experience. We have that. We have that for everybody, right? For we have a children and adolescent service clinic, and then we have adult mental health services clinics. Or if you have a friend or loved one, especially again those of you that might be parents that have a teen that may be struggling, this is a great place as well. We have amazing, wonderful, caring child and adolescent staff. So the way that you would find out more, of course, is go to our website, which is just www.theharriscenter.org. But also you can call us. So 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, we have teams on in our access hub. And that number is 713-970-7000. 713-970-7000. So if you call that number, you'll get one of our amazing access line specialists, and you can say, I am having this experience, I'm feeling this, hearing this, seeing this, what do y'all do there anyway? And one of those access line specialists can talk with you and provide some sort of immediate emotional support, but also talk to you about what the next steps would be to get connected to talk to one of our clinics. That same number, though, we try to make it really easy for everyone. Say you are sort of past that, and it is a moment where things feel really scary for you, and maybe your feelings are out of balance at that moment, or you're having thoughts of suicide, or you're having thoughts of wanting to maybe harm someone else, or you're just really struggling to get out of bed and even figure out how to go about your day. And that's been going on for a couple of days now, and you don't know what to do, or you've been crying, or you're super anxious and you're scared. You can can call that exact same number, that 713-970-7000 number. It will give you an option to talk to the crisis line. And our crisis line also staffed 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, with amazing, caring, non-judgmental, empathetic crisis line counselors are there, and they can talk with you, they can provide emotional support, they can help do anxiety reduction techniques right there on the phone with you. They'll talk to you about, hard things, right? They're gonna talk to you about, if you are having thoughts of suicide, what does that mean for you? There's a real big difference between having a thought, right, and having a plan. And then there's even a bigger difference between having a plan and then acting on that plan, right? So our staff are trained really well to kind of help see through some of those nuance and figure out, based on that conversation, what might be the best next step to help you make a decision to keep yourself safe. And
That is
so,
an incredible gift to the community, that y'all are giving, and just making such a big difference in people's lives. Right after, we're going to go to a quick break, and then I want to hear from you, Jennifer. We talk about women who do hard things on this show, and I know you've done hard things. So we're going to ask you about that as soon as we come back from the break. But first, let's take a few seconds to talk about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the persons who work to bring you this show are volunteers. In fact, Jack tells me they work for coffee. I hope it's good coffee, Jack. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option one to become a sustaining member today. Okay, we are back with Jennifer Battle, who is the vice president of, just going back to your bio here, community access and engagement at the Harris Center for Mental Health and IDD. So Jennifer, before the break, I said that we would come back and ask you about a time when you had to do a hard thing. This is what this show is about, doing hard things, women doing hard things. And it doesn't always come out pretty. It doesn't always come out neat. Many times doing hard things involves a lot of messiness, but we do them nonetheless. So can you share with our listeners a time when you did something hard, and what the outcome was, whether it's personal, professional, it's up to you how much you want to share. Just tell us about a time when you did a hard thing.
that's such an interesting question. I often think kind of hard things are in the eye of the beholder.
True.
And one of the strong benefits of being a career crisis professional is that my whole kind of work world is made up of what some people might consider hard things. And so I teach at University of Houston in the Graduate College of Social Work and University of Houston downtown, also in their Bachelor of Social Work program. And I teach about crisis intervention. And I say, my amazing team, this team of crisis line counselors, is probably going to do between 6 to 8 crisis assessments, talking to people who might be actively suicidal every day. People who might have weapons, people who might be, have really means available to them to move forward with their plans. So first, but there's also social workers who may go, their entire, year without talking to somebody who's actively considering suicide, right? So it's such an interesting context around sort of what is hard. For me, the hard thing that I'm working on and that have been working on sort of post-COVID or during COVID, is taking care of my staff. This team is so extraordinary. And, one of the most challenging experiences I've had professionally is the transition from a gorgeous, beautiful, fully technologically sophisticated call center, one day to everybody needs to go home here, grab a laptop. We think we have everything installed the way that it's supposed to be. We don't have enough headsets yet. So if you have a gaming headset, you can use that. Because we can't be in the call center anymore because there were all these articles coming out at the beginning of COVID about like how COVID was spreading through call centers around the world because of like vents and all this stuff. So I was like, we have to get our staff safe, right? Like we, you know, not just my normal concern is emotional safety, like psychological safety. But then it was the first time, not the first time, but it was one of the main times where I was really concerned about the physical health and safety of the team. And we were not like we didn't have remote work. We didn't know how to do that. So much of our training, so much of our managing, so much of our support was really around physicality, right? Like it's, you know, if you ask me, I would be like, my management style is management by walking around, right? Like you're just in the space and you're around people and you build trust that way. And people know that, you know, when you say open door, your door literally is always open and that, but open door out, meaning that I'm typically not going to be in there because I'm going to be around you, because I want to be available and I want to hear what you're doing and talk to you and support you or whatever. So, first off, kicking everybody out of the call center, sending everybody home, you know, writing the policies for what does that look like, you know, because we still have, you know, confidentiality rules and HIPAA and, you know, like how do people go to their houses where their families also are now everybody's home and kids are home from school and dogs and so yes, that so getting all that set up was really challenging. Thank goodness. You know, and I say all this as if I did it, which of course I didn't. I mostly just stressed out about it. But I have an amazing team of actual operational people in our IT team who made that actually work for us. And then, but now it's really how, because we tried to bring people back and that didn't work. Because once everybody went home, that was a great thing. And we were able to hire across the state instead of just locally, which is great because we also answer calls from all over the state, not just Houston and Harris County. So, you know, taking your people and just figuring out what does support look like in a remote environment has been really hard. And still a learning, still a constant learning journey for me.
I think that was definitely we're all doing lots of hard things during COVID, that's for sure. But kind of post-COVID, we've had to do a lot of hard things as well. So tell us about the 988 helpline.
Thanks. So many people are familiar with the previous version of the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which was a long number, 1-800-273-8255. So that's really too much to remember when somebody's experiencing a crisis. So for several years, there was a group of us that were working at the national level to figure out what the equivalent, like how to create a three-digit number equivalent to like, you know, a 211 or a 311 or a 911 for behavioral health crisis. And the idea was stigma reduction, right? Like nobody's embarrassed to call 911 if you're experiencing a health emergency. Like that's what they're there for. That's what they're created. You're not embarrassed to call 211 if you have a need of a, you know, you need to know where something is and how to get to it. So the idea over time is if there's a three-digit number similar to those for behavioral health crises, that it can reduce the stigma and help encourage people to reach out when they need it. So therefore, 988 was born. And 988 has been operational now as of last week for 3 years. We just had our third birthday. And across you know, it's just the idea of how to reach more people has been very effective. That also opened up the door to us to be able to do more text interactions, because 988 was able to be easier to text than, of course, the long 1-800 number. And then there's a chat component as well. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful program. There are 230 crisis centers across the country who partner to answer those 988 calls. We answer them. Every state has at least one. Some states have 10, you know, depending on how the state has designed it. Call centers who answer 988 for their states. In Texas, we have four main call centers and one state backup center. Just my center alone, we answer for 59 counties in the state of Texas. And we answered in the last 3 years just a little bit over 200,000 calls from our fellow Texans. And so that's another really good option for people to call if they're looking for emotional support and guidance and really,
That's
really
great.
valuable service.
That's great. Thank you so much for that work. I mean, that's just amazing work that you do. I'm curious, what if there is a budding social worker out there or a helping professional, what words of advice do you have for them if they're just starting out in their career, like brand new, fresh out of college, or even just considering a career in social work? What would you say to them?
Thank you. We need you. You're in the right place. There's something here to feed your spirit. I always tell my social work students, you don't have to meet, serve everybody. Like if you really want to serve young trans kids, there's people for you. Like if you really want to serve elderly folks, there's services for you. If you're really interested in end of life care, there's services for you. If you like the work like I do, crisis work or suicide prevention, there's work for you. So, whatever your passion area is, whatever makes you excited, whatever makes you feel connected and powerful in your voice. To serve, if you want to do policy work, my master's is actually in political social work, macro social work. If you want to influence policy, there's workplace for you. If you want to sit, you want to be a clinician, hang your, tile outside of your office, there's a place for you. So welcome on in, and we're glad to have you, and we'll help you find a home here.
Great, great. So Jennifer, I'd like to close out. I mean, this has gone so fast. I can't believe we're at the end of the show already. But I always like to close out with a little touch of happy, like joy. So, can you tell our listeners what is bringing you joy these days?
I feel joy because I know the work that I do matters. And no matter what I'm hearing on the news or things that make me feel stressed and feel out of control sometimes, the fact that I know the programs that I work with and the people that are on my teams and the people that we serve, it matters. And every day I know people touch something that I have a part of and it makes their life better in some way. And that
Yeah,
brings me
that's
joy.
awesome. Great, great way to close out. Give us that the crisis intervention lines one more time for our listeners out there. Who
Yeah,
should
to
they
call in
call?
for
Where should they call?
service to find out what we do at the Harris Center, or if you're feeling you're in crisis, it's 713-970-7000. And I also just wanted to say that if you are in the Houston area or anywhere in the state of Texas and were affected by the Central Texas flooding, we also have a Texas flooding emotional support line. Available for you 24/7. It's 1-833-812-2480. 1-833-812-2480.
Thank you, Jennifer Battle, VP of Community Affairs, not Community Affairs,
Community access
Community Access
and engagement.
at the Harris Center for Mental Health and IDD. We're going to have you back because there are so many questions I didn't get to ask you. But in the meantime, thank you for all you do, Jennifer. You make our world a better place every day, and I'm so thankful and grateful that you're out there and that you're such a dear friend to me.
Thank you.
This is Amplified Houston, and we are supported in part by the Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 West Timer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home, a 501c3 nonprofit. And proceeds from the Cottage Shop help pay for the women